I'm sorry about that. I think you finished when I sneezed, so Stephanie, did you get those couple things? Deputation is gone. Okay, and then also you added the baby. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Herbs had some news, isn't that right? Yeah, so let's add that too. All right, thank you. I forgot about some of those. All right, we're going to be in Joshua tonight. And got a lot of big words. If you've been reading through the book of Exodus, you've run into a lot of big words lately, and names and those type of things. What I usually do, if I can't pronounce those, and I'll be honest with you, my English is tough. My Bible English is even tougher sometimes with some of these words. But what I do, and me and Janie have been doing, is we'll just turn on Alexander Scorby when I got a lot of names and let him pronounce them for us as we read it through there. It's just so it helps us sometimes. Let me give you this. It's a map. Should have gave you one of these a long time ago. I actually had all the travels that we went through up to this point in a slideshow that I made years ago, but I did want to give you this tonight. So that we're starting to talk about the tribes and the land. That'll just give you an idea of where they're at and whatnot. Okay. And in Joshua chapter 13, this chapter speaks of really about God's promises. Again, you see that throughout the book of Joshua, but this is where it all kind of starts or begins to come together, where God told Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12 that he promised Abram back then, the land. And this is the land that he promised them. And so we see this being fulfilled in Joshua many years later. But it just reminds us that God's promises are always going to be true. They may not come true when we think they should, but when he makes a promise, it will come true. And even today, there are promises to Israel that have not been fulfilled that will come to fruition. And we know that in the book of Revelation. But up to this point, we have seen that God is made a promise, and he made that promise to Abram. He made that promise to Isaac, to Jacob, and then all the way down through Moses and Joshua, and he has kept that promise. And he has led them through this. Not only did he lead them, but he conquered this land for them. He made it easy for them. He told them that he would turn their backs to them. He would make them afraid or fear them. And that's exactly what he's done. And that's what God will do for us. As he will put us in a place, if we're willing to follow him, that he will help us to conquer whatever it is that's in front of us. As long as he's promised that he will do that. And he has given us such promises. But here in chapter 13, we see the first six verses, Joshua is reminded that there is still much land to conquer. And that's what chapters 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 are all about. And we'll go through those and you'll see as they go through and do that. We saw the summary in 11 and 12, but these are the details of that. And then the verses after that, Joshua is just telling them or listing the specific inheritance of the tribes, and specifically the tribes that are left on the east side of Jordan, which was Gad, the Reubenites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And that's kind of where this chapter ends. And then it begins and 14 with the other tribes, the 9.5. So let's just begin. We're just going to read through chapter 13. Just look at it for a few moments. And again, just to remind us of God's promises and how God is working. And verse 1, it says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." How old do you think Joshua is here? Roughly. I mean, I don't know actually absolute, but I'm guessing. Yeah, between 80 and 90, somewhere in there. I make that guess because I figure he was close to Caleb's age. And if we see a few chapters, it's going to tell us that Caleb is 85. And 40 years in the wilderness wandering, he was probably close to 40 when they went across and spied out the land, roughly. So if you do the math and do back count. So anyway, he's old. He's stricken in years. And so there's still land to conquer. He says, "This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and Gershira, from Sihor," which is before, Egypt, "even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, and the Gazites, and the Ashdodites, and the Eklonites, and the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites," a lot of ites there, "from the south all the land of the Canaanites, and Mira, that is beside the Sidians, Sidians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites, and all Lebanon toward the sun rising from Belgad under Mount Hermon unto the entering into Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrath Raphmaim and unto the Sidons, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh." So he's talking about this area is really, if you look at your map, it's the area on the west side of Jordan. If you're looking at your map, you see at the top right in the orange, that's the half tribe of Manasseh there. And then below that is Gad. And below that are the Reubenites, or Reuben. Okay? And so these are the ones who are left on the east side of Jordan that were promised by Moses, by God, that they could stay there, and they could build their houses there, they could leave their children and their cattle there, but they had to go fight. And that was a condition, which they did, okay? But they're giving this land here. And then what we just saw here, the rest of it is on the other side, on the west side. You see it all the way up there in the orange, the green, all the way down to the pink. All of that is the land that's going to be divided up between 9.5 tribes. You can see, Manasseh is in the green about midway. That's the other half tribe of Manasseh. Okay? And then the others are the nine tribes. So that's what he was talking about there. So he goes on in this passage, and then he's just going to go and talk about really the 2.5 tribes. He says, verse 8, "With whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance with Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them from Aroah, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medbah, and to Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, unto the border of the children of Ammon, and Gilead, and the border of the Gershurites, and the Maacathites, unto the Mount Hermon, and all Bashan unto Salca, and the kingdom of Og in Bashan, which reigned in Ashtaroth, and in Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maacathites, But Gerarites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites unto this day. And they're all on the east side, okay? Again, in the 2.5 tribes. It says, verse 14, only the tribe of Levi, he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance. And he said unto them, and Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families. And their coast was from Aroer, that is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain by Medbah, and Heshbon, and all their cities that are in the plain, Dibon, and Bamoth Baal, Beth Baal Meon, and Jahaz, and Kedeth Moth, and Meth Hoth, and Kirjatham, and Sibmah, and Zereth Shihar in the mount of the valley, and Beth Peor, and Ashdoth Pisgah, and Beth Jeshimoth, and all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses smote with the prince of Midian, Eva, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, which were dukes of Zion, dwelling in that country, or in the country, excuse me. Balaam also, the son of Beor, and the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. So from verse 15 to verse 23, it talks about this section that's pink on the right side of your map across the Jordan River, where the Reubenites are and the borders thereof. Now, all the borders are not listed here that he was talking about, but that's the area you see right there that the Reubenites have, that they asked for. So then he talks about Gad. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad, according to their families. So that's the yellow section in the midway. It says, and their coast was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the children of Ammon unto Aroer, that is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon unto Ramath Mizpah, and to Betonium, and from Manahem unto the border of Debar. And in the valley, Beth Aram, and Beth Nimrah, and Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Zion, the king of Heshbon, Jordan and his border, even unto the edge of the sea of Kinnereth on the other side Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad after their families, the cities, and their villages. So again, he's just explaining that these are the ones that the children of Gad have. And then the half-tribe, Manasseh must have been a really big tribe. I mean, if you look how much land they occupy, but maybe it's just a lot of land here is desolate, because it doesn't look like there's a lot of cities up through there. Probably a lot of desert, but anyway, they got quite a bit of land on both sides, I guess. And verse 29 says, and Moses gave inheritance on the half-tribe of Manasseh, and this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families, and their coast was from Manahem, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jar, and are in Bashan, 70 cities, and half Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Andrea, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan, were pertaining unto the children of Makar, the son of Manasseh, even to the one half of the children of Makar by their families. These are the countries which Moses did distribute for the inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. So as we look at this chapter, again, what we're seeing is that the major offensive was completed. The task that God gave Joshua, which he had originally told Abram about, and he promised Abram, he promised Isaac, he promised Jacob, all the way down the line. And, of course, Moses didn't get to go. Why didn't Moses get to go across the Jordan? Do you remember? Why didn't Moses get to see the promised land? He struck the rock. I thought he struck a rock. Oh, we struck the second rock. What was he supposed to do the second rock? Speak to it. So what does that tell you, again, about our God? That's right. He wants us to be obedient to Him. When He tells us to do something, even in a certain way, He wants us to do that. If you, as we study the Old Testament and come through there, and hopefully, again, I'm hoping you're reading. If you're not, well, that's okay, as long as you're reading something in the Bible. But if you are, I want you to remember as you read through that, that many times God gives details. And He asks His children to do things, and He asks them to do it a specific way. And again, that just reminds me, does God change? Is He a different God over the children of Israel than He is today over us? No, He isn't. But now the plan is different because Jesus Christ died on the cross. We see the fact after it's occurred, they were looking toward the cross. And we know the account. We have the account written down for us. They didn't have that. And we have things that are different. We have more than they do. We have more revelation because we have all the Old Testament and all the New Testament. So we have so much more, and that really means more responsibility too. But as God teaches us the things in the Bible through the Old Testament and New Testament, He wants us to be obedient to those and to trust Him in those. And that's what He's trying to teach us through what He's given us, the history of the Israelites and what they went through. And again, we learn that Joshua was trained by Moses. He was his right-hand man, and he followed him. And the first mention of Joshua is in Exodus chapter 17, verse 9. It says, Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out, men, and go and fight the Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. You remember the story. I just read through it not too long ago. But where Moses, as long as he had the rod up in the air, they discomfited or they beat the Amalekites. And every time he lowered it, then they turned around and beaten them. And so Hur and Aaron stood on his side, set him on a rock, and helped him to hold that rod up so they could win. And Joshua was the man that led that battle. And again, we see that, and through that, God used Joshua. And Joshua continued to grow and continued to learn, and he did that under the tutelage of Moses. He saw Moses' life, and he saw how Moses, that God was using him, and through that, God chose Joshua to be one of those. And one of the turning points, I believe, is in Numbers chapter 13, where the first time they went across had the chance to take all of Israel across the Jordan River, they did not. But Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says Caleb stilled the people and said, God gave this to us, let us go take it. And again, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that got to see that were of that age, 20 and up. And so, that just shows us His heart and His desire. And so we see that God is using them in a mighty way. I believe God does the same thing for us today. God wants to use us, and He trains us in this life to be able to be used. The more we grow in this grace, and more we learn about God, and more we're willing to be obedient to Him, the more He's going to use us. You know, God, He takes a child that's born again from the get-go, and He blesses that person right away out of the gate. And that blessing comes, number one, by the fact they know they have a Savior. Do you remember the night you got saved, the day you got saved, the place you got saved, and how you knew for a fact that something had changed in your life? And right away you were blessed through that. But there was a lot you didn't know. There was a lot to grow in. And then as you started studying the Bible, maybe attending church and going to Sunday school, you started learning more about it. And you started putting into practice what you learned. And today you can look back and say, I've come a long way, probably not as far as I should have, but I've come a long way because I've been willing to follow God in a lot of areas of my life and how He's blessed me and how He's taken care of me. And this is what happened to Joshua. This is what happened to Moses. As we just read this past week, I'm going to try to wrap this up, but I'm getting off the rabbit trail. But just going through the book of Exodus again and seeing Moses when he gave the five excuses when God called him. And the end of it was God telling him, says, "Who made?" He gave him an answer for every one of those excuses, but the last one was, "Who made your mouth anyway?" And then, of course, he gave him Aaron. But God used Moses. Moses, as he put those excuses up, God just took those away. And so Moses didn't have any excuses left. And he was willing to go. Still skeptical about the whole thing, because here he's going to Pharaoh, a place he left 40 years ago, and he was going back and he was going to tell this guy to let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh, God hardened his heart. And the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart all the way through until the last plague. And he finally let him go. And he still had a hard heart because he chased him down and wanted to destroy him. And God wouldn't let that happen. But you just see again and again how God is doing a work in people's lives. And you know what started all that? You know what started the children of Israel to be back in God's good graces, I guess? It was a cry. Isn't that what he told Moses? He said, I've heard the cry of the children of Israel, and I want you to go and deliver them. So again, that teaches us that part of this life and part of this Christian walk is to look to God and cry out to Him and ask Him for things. Seek His face. When things aren't going right, it's a time to pray. It's a time to seek God. When things are going right, you better keep praying, because they'll turn the other way real quick. But every time I study the Bible, even in chapter 13 where I see God is doing a work, He's just fulfilling promises. These promises were made back in Deuteronomy. God made these promises to Moses then. And yet they have this land. And it's because of what God is doing in their lives. And it's what God's going to do in our lives if we'll trust Him. And we'll just seek His face and say yes to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You. Sometimes we read passages like this and it seems like there's really, sometimes we think nothing to glean. Okay, just a story about how they got the land and this and that and the other. But really, it just teaches us how important it is to be obedient. Again, how You make promises and You keep those promises. And Father, we're the ones who let You down. And I pray that that would not be the case. I pray that we would each one take it upon ourselves to seek You and to search the Scriptures and to know You and to know what You want to do in our lives. Be willing to submit to that, having hearts that have a desire to thirst after righteousness. Father, we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.